Hi, podcasters. This is Brooke. I'm your art barista at Let's Talk Art, where I serve up great art for your listening pleasure. Today, I've got San Francisco and Charlotte gallerist Cassandra Richardson on the pod. She's fabulous, and I'm such a fan. Talk about how she got into the art business, her college years, talks about her mobile gallery lexicon. She talks about going through all the ups and downs of owning a business, especially a gallery. Going through what seems to be like a failure at the time can be super valuable. We talk about the importance of persisting. We talk about the importance of having a mentor. And she agrees to be mine. All kinds of good stuff in this chat. Enjoy! I've never been smart with investments or stocks, but one thing I've learned over the years is that an investment in knowledge pays the best interest. If you want to get smart with your money, you can trade smarter and maximize your returns with Trade with UFOs. Trade with UFOs is the brand that represents the community of users trading with predictive tools. You don't have to be good with stocks. They literally hold your hand while you trade, teaching you everything you need to know. You see, Trade with UFOs is also a portal which provides access to predictive apps, predictive courses, and predictive coaching, all to show you how to make money using unfilled orders. Why am I so passionate about this? Because then we'll all have more money in our pockets to buy more art. It's time to get smart with your money. Leverage your success with Trade with UFOs. Go to tradewithufos.com and use my offer code Brooke for 50% off discount on all of their products.
Okay, I'll turn the video on so we can see ourselves.
There we go.
Okay, so I don't know where you're. There you are. I'm not going to publish this. But so how are you doing?
Doing well. So happy to be here and connect with you again.
I know. It's been so long.
Yeah, when was the last time that we saw each other? It was here.
It's probably here. It was definitely at your gallery. Yeah. I think it's been since then.
Yeah.
So
maybe we had a little chat with, I think it was Stephanie Neely.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's possible. Yeah. I think that's possible. So what do you do? So Lexicon is the physical gallery closed, but you're still doing like a mobile gallery, or
yes.
that's the right term.
Yeah, absolutely. So it took me a minute to kind of recover from the grief and just the disappointment of having to close my brick and mortar location. But unfortunately, I was in a situation where I didn't have any control over the lease.
Right.
The landlord raised the rent astronomically.
That's crazy.
Which just really, really sucked, to be honest.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Some tough lessons learned, you know, and that is any artists, potential gallery owners that I speak to, even artists when it comes to like renting studio space, like my number one piece of advice is just make sure that you start over with a brand new lease. Make sure that you really understand like all of the minutiae there. But who knows? I mean, there may be some point in the future where I have another little brick and mortar.
Yeah.
But so far, so good in terms of just kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
Like I said, it took me a little while to kind of like get my passion back and figure out like, well, what in the world do I do next?
Right, exactly.
But then I realized, well, I mean, even before becoming a gallery director and working in sort of the retail commercial gallery space, like I was doing this in San Francisco in a totally grassroots style without a gallery. So I just kind of went back to my roots.
Cool.
And that was really just kind of reframing the narrative and thinking about a couple of things. So partnering with like-minded creative businesses, and then just thinking of non-traditional exhibition venues. So what I'm working on right now, which is pretty exciting. I'm very lucky in that my husband is a custom home builder. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't do very many, but probably about one a year. And his aesthetic is very much in keeping with just kind of like very minimalist, but contemporary, progressive. So it's a really nice fit for all of the artists with whom I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
So he has invited me in to curate his newest custom home coming
Oh
to
my God, that
market.
is awesome. That is perfect. That's absolutely perfect.
It's a win-win. He has the home staged, and then I just kind of come in and spend a couple hours there and really just do it kind of like on a vision board in my head.
Cool.
But it's a great opportunity that gives the artists a platform to exhibit their work. And we've done this a couple of times before, and two times the person who bought the house ended up saying like, "Oh my gosh, I love this piece, this piece, this piece." So
Good about
we
that
weren't
working
even,
with it.
yeah, we weren't even expecting that.
Yeah, that's such a cool, that's such a like a non-traditional venue. People are not expect like people who are buying houses are not really expecting art. That's just like a like icing on the cake.
Yeah, and he's I mean, he's a very passionate collector as I am,
Your
and
husband is
yeah, I've
cool.
kind of got, well, his mother was an artist, but I've gotten him like sort of bit with the bug of supporting the artists that I work with and that he now works with too. So, yeah, we're just kind of in the planning stages. He's kind of finishing up the punch list for the next house, and I'll be kind of going over there and doing little like sketches in my mind and curating it over the next few weeks. And then we want to have like an open house that's
See?
free for all to attend. Come and support the artist, check out the work, check out the house.
So is this a house that someone is buying
So
or is it is it just
he occasionally works with clients, but his favorite thing to do is build kind of his own dream houses. They're spec homes.
okay.
So he and his business partner found this unicorn piece of property, 5 acres of lakefront land on Lake Wylie, but it's zoned for Charlotte. It's like 13 miles away from where we are right now in Dilworth, like a 25-minute drive. So just this beautiful piece of land, and they've subdivided it into 5 lots. And we started back in 2022, 2023. And so he's built lot one, lot five, and now this one that he's working on now is lot four. So it's like close to 11,000 square feet the home. So it's a big
That's
space.
a huge space.
He only has sort of the ground floor, the first floor staged, but even then it's like 4,500 square feet. So
So he does the staging too.
he actually works with a company here locally, women owned, women operated, and I think their name is TNT Staging, but they have just like really beautiful contemporary pieces, kind of aligns with his aesthetic. But it's a win-win for all because they also offer art, but generally speaking, it's just like kind of like rental art, you know, like it's just really lightweight so that they can move in and it's okay if it gets like damaged or whatnot. It's like multiple copies, like large number or limited edition prints and stuff. But when I come in there, you know, it allows them to just focus on the furniture. They leave the walls blank and
Cool.
we do our thing.
I love that. I love that. Because I thought of doing something like with like doing exhibits like in like with realtors, like showing houses. But then I couldn't quite, it was too abstract and too big of a project for me to even kind of narrow down to just anything.
Really good idea, though,
So
Brooke.
yeah, just kind of and maybe possibly like you said, like you could get the art with the house as well. But I just couldn't, I connected with some realtors and they were kind of interested and I didn't really have my act together. So I didn't, that just kind of let it slide. But,
It's a brilliant idea. It really, I mean, because it's like, gosh, houses are just selling like crazy. I mean, even in this market, it's pretty tough. Charlotte's on fire. And
Especially the apartments.
exactly. And when people come in who are looking at apartments, townhouses, condos, homes, and they see one of the reasons why staging is such an important part of it is that like you can actually see like, oh, this is what I could do. And then when the art is right there, curated into the space, you know, if their budget allows, like it's a wonderful way for them to really build out their home and support local artists at the same time.
Totally. So, like, what kind of artists have you been working with?
So all my same artists
Same
that,
artist?
yeah, that I work with when I have the Lexicon brick and mortar, they're just all fabulous, phenomenal talents, wonderful people, and they all came with me.
Cool.
So yeah, we
That
just
says something. Does it? Does they? Because I mean, you're like established, and you know your stuff, and they know that they know that, and they trust you with their stuff.
it really meant a
So.
lot to me. That was like the part of one of the parts of closing the gallery that I was just absolutely dreading, is there were 14 artists that were part of the grand opening show, and I just like sat there just racked with guilt thinking about, having to call each one of them and say, I'm so sorry that I just like I'm not well capitalized enough to make it. And each successive call just got easier and easier. I mean, like the sort of like overarching theme was like, don't worry, Cass, like no
Yeah,
sweat. Like
yeah,
just let me know what you're doing next.
yeah. Oh,
So
that is so awesome. That is awesome. Oh, I love that. I absolutely love it.
artists are the best.
They really are. They really are. So I've been seeing like, so you're doing kind of like a mobile. That's probably not the right word, but like just kind of like a, you just kind of do it like pop-ups.
Yeah, so pop-up opportunities. One of the biggest things when working with clients, when working with collectors, is I've been doing a number of studio visits. And so that's a real, like, I'll post on social media is obviously huge for any creative business. And so occasionally I'll have somebody DM me and say, wow, like, I'm really interested in this piece. And sometimes it's as easy as great, like, we can either deliver it to you, or they might potentially be interested in others. And so I arrange studio visits with the artist.
Cool.
So it's a really wonderful
So you bring
opportunity.
clients to their studio. Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just a really it's an intimate encounter where you get to spend quality time. You get to learn, hands-on about that artist process, and explore the particular piece that you were interested, or even see like the entire gamut and their
Yeah.
body of
Oh,
work.
yeah.
And
See where
time
the
and time
magic
again,
happens.
see, you can see where the magic happens. But it really deepens one's appreciation for not only that particular work of art, but just kind of also seeing the full body of work. Like you can experience maybe where an artist was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where they started, and kind of where they are in their process.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, okay, so tell me what you what did you like what was your what did you major in college? What did you how did this whole art curating thing start?
Man, well, I always wanted to be involved in the arts. Ever since I was a little girl, like I played gallery director with
Love it.
my neighborhood
That I
friends.
love
I mean,
that.
I remember it like it was yesterday. It's just something that I've always wanted to do, but I was artistic in school, but I was friends with the artistic crowd who really had talent. And even at a young age, I was really, really, really shy back then. And so I could like never see myself in like a public sphere,
Yeah.
or especially in a promotional or, gosh forbid, sales realm. It just like was completely foreign
Right.
concept to me. But I really loved to read and to write about art. And so I studied, I majored in art history and contemporary art theory in college.
Okay.
But I really loved sculpt. And so I also got a BFA in ceramic sculpture, so
Cool.
hand building.
Love it.
But again,
I
like I
didn't know
knew,
that. I had no idea. This is
I always knew, like, number one, I was never good enough to make a career of it, but it was just something that was so like relaxing and meditative. I would just lose hours at the studio. But that's kind of where it started. So I never saw myself again. Like I even the thought of like being a teacher, being a professor was like hysterically terrifying to
Yeah,
me,
yeah.
just having to speak in front of
Oh,
people.
yeah.
But my writing was really strong. And so after college, my first job after university was working for a nonprofit out in San Francisco. And I did all of the grant writing, communication, so press releases,
Cool.
website content.
Neat.
Social media wasn't like a huge thing back
Right,
then.
right.
But little by little, like from my early 20s to my late 20s, I just I became more confident and had an incredible mentor. And we were a nonprofit, grassroots, like had absolutely no money. And this is kind of where I learned to that collaboration is key.
Yeah.
And those partnerships that you form can be life-changing. So we would collaborate with some of the incredible museums in San Francisco, the De Young, the SF MoMA. I learned this from my mentor. So if you are a nonprofit, you can rent the entire museum, a portion of the museum, you name it, whatever your budget allows, for like a fraction of the cost.
Wow.
So we would scrimp and save, put our organization's pennies together, and we would rent the De Young, rent the MoMA for a night.
Oh my gosh.
And we would come in there and curate. Usually it was just a room, like the entrance hall and a room of it, but we would curate it with the artists that we were working with at the time and then have like a one night extravaganza.
My gosh. I didn't know
So
you could do that.
artists would sell their work. And then also incredibly pivotal to an artist's CV is they would have the opportunity to
Show.
list their. As a show, they
Yeah.
showed at the MoMA. They
Yeah.
showed at the SF
That's
MoMA. They
that.
showed
Oh
at the
my
De
God.
Young.
That's like amazing. You're like a genius. That
Can take no credit. That was my mentor, David Ferguson. Just he always thought outside the box. And one of the other ways that aside from benefactors and donors to our tiny little organization, he came up with this incredible idea that. You could donate at the bar. So for these one night art extravaganzas, you can get a one day liquor license as a nonprofit,
Oh
as
my
a
gosh.
fundraising tool.
That's awesome. Oh my
Back in
gosh.
2003, it was $25. Then you partner with different distributors. So there was, I mean, look at how many breweries we have around
Yeah,
here in Charlotte,
totally.
right? So we partnered with Lagunitas, which is up in Napa Valley in San Francisco. And then a couple of different like Maker's Mark and Belvedere Vodka. And so we would get like all of the supplies for the bar
Right.
donated and then charge a nominal amount for the drinks. But at the end of the night, we would have like five, six, $7,000. And so we made sure that every single artist, if he or she or they didn't sell a work of art, that they would come home with a $500 grant from our
Oh my
organization.
gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay, so you were making money on all the drinks that were sold as Oh my gosh.
All of this is coming back to me now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, see,
That's
the
amazing.
possibilities are
That is
endless.
amazing. My
Brooke,
gosh.
we might have to do something together,
Yes,
a
I
museum.
would love to. That would be awesome.
You
And
know?
I wanted to ask you, like, how do you get a mentor? Will you be my mentor?
Oh my gosh, such an honor. Such an honor. I can tell you, I'm like, I think I just got really, really lucky. My very first job out of college was working for this nonprofit, the Institute for Unpopular Culture, and I started off as an intern. And I worked my way up to be David's assistant
Okay.
director, and I was there for nearly 7 years. And I didn't even really understand the term mentor before I met him. Like I understood the professor, the instructor-student
Right.
relationship, just always craved like lifelong learning. But he just showed me how meaningful it is when you have, an older, wiser person who or a more experienced person in whatever realm your passion is that can show you the ropes
Totally.
and kind of see your strengths and just like inspire those strengths in you. And then also guidance because, there's life as a creative, life in the arts is tough.
Yeah.
It's really tough to make it. It's tough to pay your bills.
Right.
And he was just such a genius and had just was brimming with so many ideas and also shared with me, a number of mistakes that he had made in his life. And just sharing that wisdom kind of like allowed me to circumnavigate making
Yeah.
some of those same mistakes. But yeah, it's something that ever since my my mentorship, mentor protege friendship with David, like I've always really sought that out. I think no matter where you are in life, no matter what your industry, no matter what your passion, you can find somebody that you like what they're doing, you admire what they're doing, and just creating that connection, that friendship. We all have so much to learn from each other.
Oh, shit. Totally, totally, totally. Well, I mean, I absolutely love what you've done with everything,
Thank you so
and I
much,
was like,
Brooke.
and I've been wanting to, I don't even know how you get a mentor, how you ask it. I was like, well, Cassandra, be my mentor.
Man, I'd be honored.
I would love that. So yeah, I just think I love what you've done. I think we have the same vision, and yeah, I would just love to be a part of.
Well, there's something really special in you too, Brooke, because it's like, you have this just expansive passion and a heart to serve, and really you've done and continue to do so much to support creatives in the community, and you do it just from a place of love.
Yeah.
I just always admired you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Yeah. I just I think part of it's just like I don't really know where to start. I didn't I was a graphic design major and kind of don't even really know, but can't claim to know that field because I don't really do it, but I have a better idea of how that might work. That rather than like the fine arts and like I think museums are I've always been intimidated at museums and stuff,
Same,
so
same, same. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you, like, oh, I mean, I don't get me wrong. I still believe in like a college education, but what do I use from like all of those intense years of study? I mean, sure, like appreciating art, studying art history, like it definitely gives you a profound theoretical, ideological, aesthetic understanding of the movements and all of that. But I mean, there's very little that I use in the real world. Most of it came from that first job right out of college and from my mentor.
I love that. Love that. So that's huge. That's yeah. I sort of. I mean, I don't think college is everything they say it is, but I kind of can see the value of like having a structure.
This is true.
Because I'm just kind of like I've been playing it by ear, just kind of like. Just kind of grasping it, whatever, and just kind of not really sure what will work. And just, but I kind of feel like if I'd had I'd majored in art history or something, which I would have loved to have done, I would have had like a, I'm not sure there how many options there would be for a career. And art history teacher would be like the main thing, but and I don't want to do that. But
I know, right? Nothing but respect for, because like some of my art history teachers like changed my life. But I just, yeah, no, I just, I've never seen myself like at the front of the classroom. Like, kids still terrify me.
Oh yeah, totally. Unless they're young, because they're not
Not jaded yet.
yeah, exactly. But yeah, once you get into junior high, I don't want anything. I don't want to be anywhere
My
near.
gosh, I know.
And like even in college, because like some people like it was just a core class, and people didn't really want to take it. And I was just like, they didn't want to be there, and I was just like, this is interesting. So they kind of give the teacher a hard time sometimes, but I was just like, this is great stuff.
No, I just I have a very dear friend who is a seventh and eighth grade art teacher, and she came from the gallery world like me, and it's really tough. It's just galleries are closing left and right. It's really, really, really difficult to find jobs if you're kind of in that track. So she pivoted and transitioned to education system, and I just bow down. I'm like, oh my gosh, you couldn't have picked like harder grades.
Yeah, totally, totally. That's amazing. That's amazing. So you were doing art in San Francisco, and you were doing like curating and just learning.
Yeah, just learning. So like at the Institute for Popular Culture, this nonprofit, our mission was to support artists, and that was a broad term. So my particular penchant and passion is visual arts, but there was a music department, a performing arts department, literary department. But speaking kind of more specifically to what I did is I had a really, really cool job in that David tasked me with kind of being a talent scout.
Ooh.
So this was 2003 to 2008. And at the time, like things have definitively changed now. Artists have a lot more agency, whether you're represented by a gallery or not. In the early 2000s, especially in a very cosmopolitan, fast-moving place like San Francisco, galleries were just the norm, just dominant. Like if you weren't represented by a gallery, exhibited with gallery, like who was going to find you? Who's going to see your work? But there were so many creative geniuses creating and living there. So part of my responsibilities at the Institute was to be a talent scout and to go out into the world, into Hunters Point, into studios in Oakland, like just off the beaten tracks when I would hear, and most of my recommendations came from other artists. Oh my gosh, you've got to go check out so and so's work. You've got to go check out her work. But to find these artists who were, in a sense, creating in a vacuum because they either just like didn't have the confidence, sometimes didn't have the language skills, meaning they were international and just were intimidated by walking into a gallery, because galleries can be pretty intimidating, scary places. It still are, in many cases. But so I would sort of be a talent scout for these artists, and we would write proposals to some of our main benefactors. We had a couple of key individuals who donated regularly to the Institute. And I would interview the artists and say, you know, what would you do with a no strings attached grant? And how much would you need to accomplish that dream? So sometimes it was $5,000 for new pieces of welding equipment, you know, something that would just like really kind of bring their sculpting, their welding practice up to the next level. In one case, we represented this incredible Bulgarian artist, genius, but he was just like very shy and insecure about his English speaking skills. And I just thought that that was just so unfortunate, you know, that like he wasn't being recognized and seen by galleries. So he painted, I think you'll appreciate this, Brooke, in a style that stemmed like all the way from the great masters. So he would literally like mix and mash original pigments to create his oil paints.
Oh my
Like he'd
gosh.
make his oil paints himself.
That's awesome.
So these,
You
you know,
got to be
very,
like a chemist to do
oh,
that.
he's very like tactile, and like you can just see it, like the depth and the saturation, the color spectrum in his oil paintings is still like unlike anything I've seen to this day. But he had never been to Italy and had never seen like Leonardo, Botticelli, Titian, all of these like great Renaissance masters. He's never seen them in person, just from like old dusty books. So I wrote a $12,000 grant for him to basically take off for 3 months. So it was to pay his rent in San Francisco, pay his bills. He was working like 50 hours a week painting houses. So, and then working on his, you know, his own like incredible plethora of his body of work, of his own paintings, nights and weekends, as we all do, right? But 3 months to pay his rent, pay his bills, to be able to take off, go to Italy for 4 weeks. And he just sat there and went to the Uffizi Gallery and just like sketched and
Oh
drew
my gosh.
and came back, and to be able to work wholeheartedly on paintings that had
Oh my
inspired
gosh.
him while it was still fresh in his mind.
Okay, now this is going to be like really, really stupid because I don't know anything about grants or grant writing or anything like that. But like, so I've always kind of been interested in it because I like to write and I'm not a very technical writer. But so if you write a, what does it mean that you write a grant? So like you write a grant that says you're not giving them the money.
No, so my experience with grant writing is would say I'm at the sort of beginner intermediate level. I think you'd be a really good grant writer, honestly, like just reading your writing. But in my experience, you've got sort of like a multiplicity of levels of complexity of grants. So your big grants, like from the National Endowment for the Arts, you're talking about, I mean, hundreds of pages. And those kind of like institutional organizational grants, like those take like professional grant writers. Here in Charlotte, we have incredible organizations. The Arts and Sciences Council, they have a whole slew of grants that are available to creatives, to artist performers, to creative support people, creative entrepreneurs, and to organizations. Monique Luck and I wrote a grant together in 2018 for an incredible project that we did. And it was amazing. I mean, it gave us the funds to accomplish the project, which was a year-long project. But I will say that keeping up with the annotations, the figures, the notes, and the reporting for the grant, I mean, it was a considerable amount of hours, probably
I
60
would
to
not
80 hours.
guess.
Yeah, I feel like once you get into the practice of it, like you get better, but I was really rusty. Now, every time the Arts and Sciences Council announces that they have creative support grants, I always DM it to, like, especially I've got my artist in my head, like, oh my gosh, she could really use a new kiln. He could really use, you know, like full refresh on his supply of oil paints. And these grants that are like the, I don't know, it's basically like what you would ask for. I think it's up to 3,000, maybe 3,500, but those are approachable. Those are manageable. They're asking for, you know, maybe a bio, maybe two or three paragraphs about like what you would use the grant for. And then they just want to see you like receipts and reporting. So I really appreciate that about the Arts and Sciences Council because it's manageable for, you know, artists, people who just don't write grants.
So they give the grant, but they want the receipts.
Yeah, so, and it's pretty simple. You know, it's like if you say, hey, like I had an artist that was awarded an ASC artist support grant years ago, and she needed a new kiln. Simple as that. And so she just said, this is what I need it for. This is what I'm going to do with it. You know, you write like a little bit about your bio, your experience as an artist, two paragraphs about, you know, what you'd use, the supplies, the money for. And some of their grants, so it doesn't necessarily have to be about materials. It can be about like professional development. So you have a workshop that would really kind of like help move your process forward, or maybe you're experiencing like creative writing block. There's a workshop, you know, taught by this that you could attend that might help you kind of break through.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
That's awesome.
and then Charlotte is creative, of course. Like that organization is just amazing.
I like them. There's several other things.
Yeah, I mean they're HUG micro grants. If you've heard of this, those are just incredible. I tell every artist that I meet, like who's looking just for like I just need some help. Like I'm not ready to apply to galleries yet, or I'm not ready for a show, but you know, but I'm. I just need some help, like financial help. This is just, and it's just like it's takes 5 minutes to apply, and like they word it so openly, and just like that win feels so good, you know? I mean, it's a trope, but generally speaking, for grant applications, for gallery submissions, you're gonna hear nine no's before you hear a single yeah. And you just gotta keep doing it. You know, I have to tell myself that.
Totally. Well, do they do are HUG grants only for artists or so I can apply for HUG grant?
Yeah,
Oh
absolutely.
my gosh, I should do that.
Absolutely. Or you really should.
And then I could get to practice grant writing.
Exactly. So you apply for your first HUG micro grant. And again, it's an online application. You can do it on your phone. They're looking for, I think it's like maybe 50 words or less. Like, just tell us in one or two sentences what you'll use this $250. How will it inch, how will it solve like one problem that you're having in your creative endeavors? And then if you're awarded a HUG grant, 6 months later, you can apply for a bear hug, which is a $1,000
A bear. Oh
grant.
my gosh. I could use a bear pouch.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just awesome.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm so excited.
You should do
Totally,
it.
totally. That's amazing. Amazing. So what's Lexicon doing now?
So, my next kind of two endeavors are curating this house that I'm collaborating on with Darren, with my husband, and we're calling it Midsummer because that's the name of the road that it's on.
Oh, cool.
So that'll be happening over the next couple of weeks. And then another really exciting development is, I can't remember if I was telling you about this last time that we chatted, Brooke, but I have a partner at Lexicon now.
Cool.
She is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant lady named Liz Aguilera.
Okay.
And Liz is a sommelier. And she came to me with this concept a couple of years ago, and it's called the Artful Pour. So Liz and I collaborate together on these really neat pop-up events, and we select four works of art by four different artists. And Liz does her like sensory deep thinking and thinks about a varietal of wine that is
That's partner.
inspirational or that's kind of reflective or emblematic of that work of art. And then, so we present together. So, the very first time that we did this was at Lexicon's brick and mortar.
Gosh.
And then the next time that we did it, we actually did a walking tour of Dilworth Artisan Station.
Nice.
And that was so neat. So we did one of those in the summer of last year, and we're going to try to gear up to do one again, like late spring. But it's really, really neat because people who feel maybe intimidated to talk about art or kind of like to verbalize what they are feeling when they look at art, like most everybody enjoys wine, and especially as you're kind of like sipping and reflecting on all of the characteristics, the tasting notes, the aesthetic properties of the wine, you start to see things like in the work of art that maybe you hadn't conceptualized or thought of before.
Right. Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, especially that community definitely does that, like looking at art with a group or a community.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're like, it's very participatory. So it's not meant to be a lecture. Liz will kind of introduce each varietal for a couple of minutes. And then I just talk just some things from like art appreciation. So looking at the saturation levels, looking at the composition, looking at balance, looking at light and shadow. So just some different formulaic elements that we use to study and to analyze a work of art. For each work of art, I'll kind of talk about a different one. So just kind of giving people some vocabulary that
So
is
yeah, some
easy to
words.
use. Yeah, that kind of like conceptualizes a framework around a work of art.
I love that. I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love, love, love what you're doing. I think it's, yeah, I think it's hard to find to make a career out of being a creative, and especially like if you don't like, because like an artist, you know what an artist is, and you know how an artist makes money. An artist, but like if you're not an artist, mean we're all artists, I guess, but I mean like if you don't have it like a defined niche, and it's kind of hard to market it or tell people what it is.
Exactly. You
So
got to go your own path, you
yeah,
got to make it up as you go along.
absolutely. That's yeah. This you were totally talking my language when I was. It's like yeah. So I love that. I love that.
Well, I love what you're doing, Brooke. I mean,
So
I've always been a fan, and
thank you.
it's so helpful because not only are you helping creatives like feel seen and heard, but you're also, and I've heard this from like several artists who listen to your podcast, they're like, oh my gosh, like, oh, wow, like they start to feel a connection, you know, like they're like, wow. So, you know, the life of an artist and creative, like we're often so siloed, and it can be isolating, you know. And so whether you even realize it or not, but you have built this whole community around what you do.
Thank you. You've heard people talk about it?
Yeah, I have.
Really?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah. I mean, a couple artists that I've told, I was like, you gotta listen to Brooke's podcast because it will help you know, think about and express yourself about your own work. It'll also just help you feel connected to the creative world.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's so funny because like you feel like you're like it's a solitary thing. Like I feel it
Yeah.
in my like we're meeting now, but like I'm usually like in my guest rooms. Like, and I'm just like, I don't know who's gonna hear this.
Right. Like, is anybody listening? Does anybody care?
Exact.
People do.
Exact. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
That means a lot. So, but I love it so much. I absolutely love doing it. So I feel so lucky to be able to do it.
It's amazing. I mean, that's just so evident. You know, it comes from a place of passion, and it comes from a place of altruism. And like, you really are helping to connect our creative community, helping artists like feel heard and seen and find each other.
Yeah, totally, totally.
I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm such a huge fan of you. Thank you so much. Yeah. So I think this is might cut us off eventually, but
Thank you so much to Cassandra Richardson for taking the time to meet and chat with me. Always so much fun catching up with you, learning the tools of the trade and whatnot. If you want to see more of Cassandra and Lexicon, go to lexicongallerycharlotte.com. LexiconGalleryCLT.com. If you're finding value in these episodes, please like, share, or consider sponsoring my Patreon. As always, thanks for listening. This is a Hotspur Media production. Music by Corey Knoxville.